I'm assuming not. All right, Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. Verse 46 will be our text verse, but let's start reading in... let's start reading in verse 38. If you have that, we'll go ahead and stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 29, verse 46 is our text verse, but verse 38 is where we'll start reading. Exodus 29. Any of you guys got Bibles? You guys got any Bibles back there? You guys got any Bibles back there? These guys need some Bibles up here. They're all gone. They're all gone. They're all gone. All right. Josue will share his good night micro-sized Bible with them. You need a microscope to read that, don't you? Yeah. All right. Exodus 29:38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb, verse 39, thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And verse 46, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. That'll be our text verse this morning. Let me read it one more time. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And this morning we're going to talk about foundational principles. Foundational principles. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. We pray now, Father, that you'd bless this time now, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. There is a lot of truth to this concept of foundations. Of course, we're going to talk about foundational principles. Now, when we talk about our theme for this month, if the foundations be destroyed, we're primarily referring to the church and the doctrines of the Christian faith when we talk about that. In fact, Psalms 11:3 says this, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I think that's a great verse and definitely promotes the concept of what we're wanting to emphasize this month in particular, the reality of it anyway. However, today I want to start us off by talking about the foundations on maybe more of a personal level, maybe I should say more of an individual level, and that's what I want to do this morning. Now, in everything we do in life, there are foundational principles. We must always remember to practice them if we want to be successful or stay successful. We have to follow the foundational principles that are there. For instance, sports teams, if they want to be successful, they must regularly practice their foundational principles, that practice the fundamentals, the foundational principles of what it is they're doing. In football, for instance, there are fundamentals, there are foundational principles there. Now, there are little things that may not seem exciting to the overall person, They may seem like they're insignificant, maybe to a player or a team's success, but if those fundamentals or foundational principles are not remembered and practiced, and in many cases practiced and practiced and practiced, they will not find the success in their season that they want to have, or whatever game it is they play. In this case, we said football. It could be baseball. It could be a lot of different sports or activities. Soccer, to make some of you happy. And because soccer is like the most favorite sport of everybody all over the world except in America. And we call it football, and there's very little foot use in it. But whatever the sport is, there's fundamental principles there that need to be practiced and practiced. That's why teams, sports teams, they practice. They basketball, whatever the game is, they practice, they practice, they practice, they practice. They're always learning. They're always figuring it out. They're always, somebody new comes in to a team somewhere, and they might be really physically talented, they might be really gifted as an athlete, but if they don't learn the fundamentals or the foundational principles of that activity that they're involved in, whatever the sport is, then it doesn't matter how athletic they are, they're probably not going to be that good. Because there's things they have to learn, there's concepts they have to have down, there's things that they have to have down in order for them to be successful and find the kind of success they need. Likewise, there are foundational principles to the Christian life. In our present-day society, it seems that many of the foundational principles of the Christian life are ignored for feel-good teaching and preaching. Amen. Many people would rather hear something that makes them feel good than to be reminded of the foundational principles of the Christian life. However, you will never be successful, or you will not be able to have continued success if you have been successful, if you do not remember the foundational principles that have been put in place. The verse above shows us four foundational principles that we must always keep in mind in order to find success, or to be successful, and I'm going to give them to you as far as success in the Christian life. Number one, this is from our text verse, verse 46 of Exodus 29. First thing we've got to remember is who your God is. That's number one, who your God is. Moses told them here in this verse, know that I am what? The Lord their God. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. So they had to know that. Know who your God is. They had to know, I am the Lord, their God. If we are not careful, we can get so wrapped up in hobbies or the affairs of this life that pretty soon we forget who God is. We forget who he is. Oh, we know him. We know about him. But we forget who our God is sometimes, I think. Deuteronomy 8:14 says this, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 19 of the same chapter, Deuteronomy 8. And it shall be, if thou do all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. That's what he said. Job 8:13. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalms 50, verse 22, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. We must always remember to keep God first in our life. We must always remember to keep God first in our life. If you don't, when success comes your way, you'll begin to think that nothing can stop you. Nothing can destroy you. Nothing can keep you from it. If you're not careful, you begin to place yourself place a career or yourself above God. That's what I'm trying to say. You'll do it. You put your activities above and before God. The things that you do, maybe your entertainments, something else, but you'll place it in front of and above and before God. You don't want to do that. God does not like or allow himself for very long to become second fiddle in one's life who's a true born-again Christian. God doesn't do that. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like second fiddle. People are selfish. They live for themselves first and God second far too often in this life. Me first. Oh, yeah, yeah, God's important. That's why I got him second place and everything. Because he's important. But after all, I'm important, so that comes first. Now, most people don't say it like that, but that's how they live it. Amen, preacher. That's how they live it. That's how they live it. Yeah, I know it's tough to swallow, but it's true. I counsel with people all the time that ask me to try to help them gauge how to make right decisions about a job or maybe about a career. And I always counsel them to never take the job or get involved in the career if it's going to interfere with their obligations to God. Amen. If it interferes with your obligations to God, you shouldn't be involved in it. Some make the right decisions in regard to this. Unfortunately, others make bad decisions in regard to this. What is God demanding to be first in your life? What was God demanding of the children of Israel? That he be first. Know that I am the Lord your God. God demands to be first. We must never forget that he is God. Number two, you didn't like number one, so I don't know if you like number two, but number two. Second, remember from whence God brought you. Remember from whence God brought you. God told Moses that the children of Israel needed to remember that he brought them out of Egypt. That's what he told. Look at verse 46 again. Here's what he says. That brought them forth, what? Out of the land of Egypt. Isn't that what he said? That brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. And remember also another verse I read to you a moment ago, Deuteronomy 8:14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God wants them to never forget not only that he's God, but that he's the one that brought them out of bondage. He's the one that brought them forth. He's the one. Don't forget that is what God's saying. Always remember that. God wants them to never forget not only that he is God, but that where they were and where they came from, that he brought them out. The same is true, not only about Israel of yesteryear, but of us today. It is true. God wants us to remember. It's imperative that every Christian constantly reminds themselves that God saved them from a life of sin, and he saved them from the destruction of hell. If you've been saved this morning, you've been born again, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, guess what? You don't have to ever die and go to hell because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the only way. The only way. But we need to remember where we came from. He saved you in spite of yourself. He saved me in spite of myself. He saved me. He didn't have to, but he did. So I need to remember that he's God, and I need to remember where I came from. This will help you if you can do this. I mean, because Christians should never forget that God saved them and where they'd be if it weren't for God. But this will help you keep a proper perspective of yourself. Too often we grow in the Lord and we become separated, solid Christians maybe, and then start to look down at those who don't appear to be there yet. We better not do that. I don't think we necessarily intend to be that way, but I think sometimes when we do that, we forget where we came from. We forget where we came from. God didn't want us to forget. He wants us to remember what he did for us. He wants us to remember that we once were like others, and we had to grow to get ourselves a little bit better. We had to grow in the things of the Lord. Because if there's anything good about you or me this morning, it's Jesus. That's the only thing that's truly good about you or me, no matter what it is. So anything I ever do, anything I ever become, all the credit goes to Jesus. Because without him, I'd be nothing. And you would be nothing this morning without him. And this leads us then to number three. Number three, the third one. Remember your need of a daily walk with God. We must remember our need of a daily walk with God. We need a daily time of fellowship with God. If you want your Christian life to be successful, you've got to spend time with Him. You show me how much time you spend walking with God, and I can tell you how successful your future will probably be. If you truly spend time with Him. Christians who are successful as Christians walk with God daily in the Scriptures and prayer. Don't get too busy to walk with God daily. Don't get too busy for God. Without a daily walk, you'll never be exactly what God wants you to be, and you'll never accomplish exactly what God wants you to accomplish in your life. You won't be able to. You never will. You see, we need what God has much more than we realize. But we won't get it without a daily walk. Without spending time with God, you're not going to have the wisdom you need. See, real wisdom comes from God. God's words where you'll find it, and those that have it are successful. Those that find it are a success for God when they find it and they apply it to their lives. You spend time, we won't go to it, but Proverbs chapter 8 making wisdom very evident, the importance of it there in Proverbs chapter 8. It personifies wisdom, makes it like a person, in other words. And a lot of the applications found there in that chapter for wisdom are the same applications we can find through Jesus. It all goes hand in hand, though. Oh, Jesus is called what? The Word also? Right? He sure is. He's the living Word, amen. And we also need the written Word, the words of God. And we need to spend time in that book if we want to get closer to God. But God wants us to remember our need of Him. He says in verse 46, that I may dwell among them. That I may dwell among them. And so God wanted to dwell with them. Number four. Fourthly then, finally remember this. Your need of God's power. Your need of God's power. You want to have success in your life? This is a foundational principle. You need God's power. God said, I am the Lord their God, in verse 46. The name Lord, talking about Jehovah God, the name the Jews used to recognize the power of God. Amen. So it was Him who delivered them from Egypt and parted the Red Sea. Likewise, you and I need that same power in our lives if we want to live a successful Christian life for God. Are you going to be able to succeed in anything without God's power? No, not at all. Not at all. God's power is so amazing. What He can do through you and wants to do through you, but you've got to be able to follow these principles in order to be able to get it. Without God's power, you won't be able to accomplish what God needs you to have. I mean, we need God's power. We will fail without it. Sunday school teacher, you cannot give those students what you need, what they need, if you do not get God's power on your life. You need His power. Bus captain, you can't have the kind of effect on the lives of those kids that you need to have without God's power on your life. I cannot preach and give you what you need this morning without God putting His power on my life to be able to do it. We must daily ask God to give us His power in prayer if we want to live the kind of life that He wants for us to live. If we want to live the kind of life that's for someone else instead of always ourselves, we've got to have God's power. We've got to. We've got to. We've got to. We cannot live a successful Christian life without it. So this morning, the success of your and my Christian life is going to be highly determined by whether we remember and practice these four foundational principles. Without those four principles, we're going to have an awfully hard time being successful. In fact, we just simply won't be able to be successful in the way that God wants us to be successful. Those are foundational principles. And we've got to practice them. And no, these are not the only principles of the Christian life. I'm not trying to say that this morning. But these are ones that are very imperative to our success. And we can find them found right there in one verse, in verse 46 of chapter 29 of Exodus. And if we keep the right perspective on these things for us and God, amen, and remember from whence we came, and remember who God is, amen, remember from whence we came, remember to walk daily in His Word, amen, and live with His power, amen. If we do that, we can find success in the Christian life this morning. I'm telling you, folks, without God, we can't do it. But you've got to have those foundational things. The problem is people want the success, but they don't want to do what it takes to be successful. That's everything in life. They want to take the easy way out. We talked earlier about sports teams. Sports teams want to be successful, but they don't want to put the hours of practice in sometimes that they need to do. They don't want to put the study in to learn about their opponent and so forth. People want to be successful in school, but they don't want to put the time in studying in the books to get the good grades that are necessary to be a success in school. Whatever it is, somebody wants to be successful on the job and they want promotion, but they don't want to work hard, roll up their sleeves and sweat for a couple years and get some notice from somebody in order to get there. They, wow, I just have it handed to me. Well, of course you should. Sure. Yeah, if they would have known who you were, they probably would have, you know. After all, I mean, they just didn't know who you were. If they'd known who you were, they would have just put you right up to the top and made you second in charge of the whole company. That's how it works, right? To know you is to love you, right? And they just don't know you. And that's the problem, right? That's too often the attitude we get about ourselves. Well, if they realize who I was, what type of worker I was, hey, show them what type of worker you are. Show them who you are. Show them what you're all about. And usually that's done by your actions, not with your mouth. Amen. Foundational principle. Everything in life has them. But the Christian life, you need these four foundational principles in order to find success in your Christian life. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll have our invitation time this morning.